As the late John McGahern almost said, tricky yoke strikes. Until this week, dissatisfied panels of players were always careful to observe the first rule of any GAA strike. You never, ever, ever go on strike when you're actually due to play a match. It was an ingenious accommodation. Transported to the Industrial Relations Arena, it would have been a powerful instrument. Our members, Mick Halpiny might tell Sharon Ní Bheolán on a windy link from Dublin Airport, are steadfastly refusing to work on our days off, and we will certainly not do a single thing at the weekends either, and while we're on our holidays either, and that's our last word about it. OGA players of old were wily boys, right enough. They knew a well-timed strike during the close season would relieve them of the niggling necessity to actually follow up on their grave threats. They struck at an appropriate time, but soon enough entered into fruitful peace talks before the first round of the National League, and then the job would be Oxaw. It was the something-for-everyone approach, and it served the GAA well down throughout its history. As an example, I take you back to 1992. On the very Monday that Donegal were bringing the Sam Maguire Cup home to the Hills, Mayo, the team they'd defeated in the All-Ireland semi-final a month earlier, were on strike. The Mayo players were unhappy with the quality of training they'd received during the season. One of the instances they cited was the night they were forced to push cars around a car park in Castlebar. This news, of course, excited the inner comedian in GAA fans all over the country, while also stimulating the creative juices of one national paper cartoonist who depicted the Mayo players carrying the cars on their backs during a training run, with Knock Airport, Clare Island and Crowpatrick and sundry other icons of Mayo lurking indifferently in the background. Slightly more prominent in the cartoon were a pair of doleful-looking farmyard asses, peering out over the wall at these sweating, struggling, heaving specimens of Mayo manhood, and a quartz bubble running from one of the asses' mouths. "How's the training going, lads?" was his inquiry. But the subtext was an unspoken invitation to the reader to ponder a while on whether the real asses in the image were located inside or outside the mayoring wall. Ah, but strikes were better back then. They were a bit of a diversion, a sop thrown the way of the ordinary 5/8 to divert his attention away from sundry tactical blunders perpetrated by players, managers and officials. You were no one if you didn't have the occasional threat of a strike. A strike conveyed the impression of passion, if not always passion itself. And then, sticking with the passionate theme, there was the singular thrill of the kissing and the making up, the stirring rallying call to arms, let's all unite behind the jersey, and before you know it, we'd all be on the road again. But all is changed now, changed utterly. A terrible emptiness is born in the fields around Kilbritton and Drimoleague. Kerry now have no clearinghouse for their annual early season indifference. Without a July victory over Cork to send an orgasmic shiver up through their spines, Waterford hurlers might now just have to go off and win the darned All-Ireland in 2008. Cork are stilled. And even Mick Halpiny wouldn't find a chink of light here.